Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Who win it now?
Welcome into the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe, oh, I did it again on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, you did. You did it yesterday, too. Another dollar in the bucket.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I had an awkward pause. I caught myself yesterday. But I had an awkward pause.
Sean gave us on ESPN 97.5.
In the ESPN app.
In the ESPN app.
We got a lot to get to on today's show. We're going to discuss what's going on with the Houston Texans, their game tomorrow night versus the Kansas City Chiefs, as we await official news about Kamari Lassiter. That's obviously the big injury one that everyone's focused in on right now for the Houston Texans. We'll discuss the Rockets game last night. We'll have a video tribute discussion of whether deserved or not deserved. We'll do Mount Rushmore Plus One. We got a lot to get to on the show today.
I'm looking forward to Mount Rushmore Plus One. It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah, it has been a while.
I don't think I've done a show since, what was it, the last weekend of October?
Basically, was it the last time we were here?
Well, but the time before that, because you guys came in November.
Yeah,
I don't think you've done a show since we were here.
Since the first show
back. Yeah,
the last
time you were here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because
it's been a while.
There's been games, there's been
so much.
The trip you didn't go to. There's
Thanksgiving.
Like, it literally has been months.
It feels like a lifetime.
But we got a lot to get to, and we'll start with the Houston Texans. And we are broadcasting inside the sportsbook here at La Berge, watching the Big 12 championship game and the MAC championship game. I couldn't remember what conference that was for a second.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Well,
where else
would
Western Michigan be playing?
Well, what are you gonna say? What are you gonna say next year about Northern Illinois?
We don't care about Northern Illinois.
Mountain West.
The Mountain West. Yeah.
It just means more.
They used to be the Western Territories.
That's true.
I mean, they should move Western Michigan
150 years ago. But,
So there's obviously a lot of hype going into this game. I think around the Houston Texans, we've heard multiple people all week say the cliche of the Houston Texans are the team you don't want to see in the playoffs with the way their defense is playing right now. Is there too much hype, Sean Mapes?
It is an uncomfortable place to be in as a Texans fan, hearing the national media gush and the team you don't want to face in the playoffs, because for most of my life, they're a team that everyone wants to play. The national media wants to get the Texans game out of the way early as possible on Saturday afternoon. So to me, it is an uncomfortable spot, but I think it's pretty deserved, because they're a team that has an elite skill. They have probably the top five unit in football. Not just a top five defense, a top five if you combine offenses and defenses. I think the Texans defense is up there. So I think it's warranted, while it does make me uncomfortable because this is a team that's never made it outside the divisional round.
Yeah, it's kind of where you look at it, because if you look at it from any sort of historical standpoint, or even just 3 months ago standpoint, there's no reason to have confidence
in the Texans.
They haven't won at Kansas City since we didn't know about COVID. They haven't beaten Patrick Mahomes. They lost him last year in the playoffs. They started 0-3, that turned into 3-5. Mm-hmm. Like, any sort of mindset that's not looking at right here, right now, would tell you favor the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But, like, I just can't get past what seems so obvious, even though I've got Texans PTSD from a lifelong of following this team and being disappointed. But, like, we've seen what happens, as Sean, you and I talked about yesterday, we've seen what happens when Chiefs face a legit pass rush that can make Patrick Mahomes move. Mm-hmm. It happened in the Super Bowl against the Bucs. It happened in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. And the Texans are bringing in the best edge rushing duo in the league against an offensive line in Kansas City that's missing three starters, or potentially missing three starters, definitely at least one. So I just see this as, it feels like if the Chiefs don't have an answer for Hunter and Will Anderson, the ball game's over right there.
Yeah, and it's a great spot for the Texans, like you said, with the pass rush, with the Chiefs' injuries on the offensive line. It's also a great spot for SOT to pop up. It's why it's so uncomfortable, because it's that team specifically in Kansas City versus this team specifically in the Houston Texans. And it's like, yeah, I've just seen it before when they go to Foxborough and wear Letterman jackets. It didn't win. It didn't go well.
We're talking about the Chiefs, and you bring up the Letterman jacket.
It's analogous. Oh. It's analogous.
It was a sunny night.
It was a Sunday night game. Texans are rolling in.
You know what? It's the same part of the season, because they're 11-1, now 7-5. They played 12 games. You know what? Apologies, Sean.
The symmetry is there. I just need Connor Barwin to wear a normal jacket. That's all I need. I need J.J. Watt.
Shout out to Sean Cody.
I need those guys. I need
Chris Myers.
I need Mario Edwards to wear whatever he normally would wear, and I think we're good.
Yeah. How many of those guys do you think still have those jackets?
Sean Cody, 100%. I think Connor Barwin, 99%.
Because Barwin was the ringleader.
Yeah.
Connor, Barwin and Sean Cody. Yeah. Those are definitely the first two guys.
But, like, JJ's is definitely in the trash.
I don't think JJ has his.
He burned that thing.
No. You think Schaub has it?
It gets cold in the remote Wisconsin cabin. So,
yeah, but you also got embarrassed in them.
He's not living in Wisconsin, is he? He's not living in Wisconsin.
No, I'm just saying it's somewhere. He has it somewhere in a closet.
That's true.
Yeah, it's probably like, in 20 years, he's going to be like, look at this thing I found.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely will tweet that out one day.
Yeah. Or if the Texans, like, play the Patriots in the first round of the playoffs this year.
He better not.
Shows up to broadcast the game for CBS and the Letterman.
Not enough time has passed, J.J. Watt. No. It needs to be, like, 20 years from now.
I still don't think I'm over it at 20 years from now.
The Texans would have to win a Super Bowl at some point in history before he can dust that out again.
We know that they're most likely going to be down three offensive linemen. Their left tackle is out. He's on injury reserve. Their right tackle and their guard, Trey Smith, are both doubtful for this game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Lassiter is going to be questionable. So
hopefully he can Amon-Ra.
Yes. With all the hype and everything, doesn't it just feel like the Texans are going to win, though?
I feel like it. I'm gonna place the bet on the Texans.
Yeah, I feel like the Texans are gonna get.
Sean's shaking his head. I don't think he's there.
No. I also think the Texans are gonna win. I just hate that we all think the Texans are gonna win.
We're being set up for failure and misery.
It does.
Same old Texans. That's what you're saying.
It feels like when you take your dog out to get a steak dinner before. You know,
man, we're gonna get shot in the head like Lassie.
It just feels like it.
Or I mean, Old Yeller. I mixed up my dog references.
I don't know how it ended.
You don't have to shoot Lassie.
I don't know how it ended for her. I don't know. It's an old dog.
Look at the flowers.
Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just – it's too good. Things are – it's like makes too much sense.
Yeah.
I think that there's a good chance that we sit there and we're like, yeah, we kept waiting for the Chiefs to turn this thing around. They never turned it around in 2025, and this game was part of it. I also, deep down, places I don't want to think about, I'm like, well, it also – would just be a classic Texans thing to not like to lose this game 28-10.
Yeah, and for your defense just to get torched.
Yeah.
By Patrick Mahomes against it, like with no offensive line.
Just like outside of structure plays of like, oh, every 3rd and 15,
they're getting it.
He scrambles for 5 seconds and finds Hollywood Brown open.
Or the more classic Texans to me is 3rd and 15. You get the incompletion, but oh, there's a legal hand.
Yeah,
you're
roughing the passer.
Yes, that feels. That feels.
Yeah. Oh, can we bet on Aziz Alshaier personal fouls more than 0.5?
What would you set the line at? 0.5?
I mean, I would want to get 0.5.
I'm smashing the over because.
Hold on. You're talking about the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee.
Yes, that's why I'm smashing it.
Yes.
Because the irony of, like,
him before.
On Sunday Night Football, after he gets nominated, in which the Texans and Aziz are already getting roasted for him being the nomination, him crushing Patrick Mahomes on Sunday Night Football in front of the entire world, it's going to happen.
I really pity, like, as if Aziz wins this award, let's just play out the hypothetical. Some poor schlub is going to have to come up with a highlight video where they talk about it. Like, what do you show from Aziz that isn't going to make him look?
Nothing on the field?
Yeah, it's a lot of
it's
him, like, running.
Shaking hands after the game.
And the thing, like, running out from the tunnel, that stuff. And,
no,
like,
in-game highlights.
No.
Hugging D'Amico Ryans. Don't show what happened before that, but just hugging D'Amico Ryans.
Hugging Tom Brady.
Yes.
You know?
With his hand around his neck. Hand,
there was a hug of his neck.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a choke style manner. But it was a hug. It was a hug.
Going for the fist pound to Roschon Johnson's face.
It was a fist bump.
It was a miscommunication.
He just missed his it just missed hands.
He was trying to bump chest with Trevor Lawrence, but his aim was a little off.
Misunderstanding. Like Romber. It was a mix up.
I think you have all those highlights, but you just stop right before it happens. You see Trevor Lawrence. You see Aziz run up to Trevor Lawrence, and the video just cuts something
else. Now that.
Oh, like go like full Sopranos. Yeah. Just like everything
just
cuts black to black.
Or like a horror movie trailer.
Yeah. Yes,
it's like Final Destination.
To me, this game, it's pretty simple. It's going to come down what the season's come down to all year, which is just the red zone. Like the Texans. You can't leave what they've left on the field against the Chiefs. Like, no matter how much the Chiefs have struggled against these good quarterbacks, like, you cannot go out there and just keep kicking field goals. And who knows what the weather's going to look like on Sunday night. I mean, we know it's going to be cold. I don't think there's going to be rain or snow. At least the last time I checked, there wasn't.
It's just cold.
But it's still going to be freezing cold. And Kaimi, like, we'll see how that affects him.
I think we're overplaying the weather, to be honest. Like, I've looked at this more from a fantasy perspective. Now, wind, snow, precipitation, that affects, you know, fantasy performance. But cold doesn't, unless it's something like the Ice Bowl or what happened in Chiefs Dolphins a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about that here.
No, I feel like special teams is kind of the exception to that.
Maybe so. Which has been a question for the Texans.
Yeah.
So they've allowed, what, two kick punt returns this year for touchdowns? Yeah.
They're terrible on special teams.
So that's, the Texans special teams coordinator called KC's coordinator the best in the league at drawing up returns. So something to watch for in this game.
Dave Cobb had Devin Hester.
That's, I mean, we're talking.
That's why.
I mean, they have Damian Pierce. So, look out. They signed him to get the detailed behind-the-scenes knowledge.
Yeah, not really concerned about that one. Hey, Damien, what's the offense like? Well, see, when I was on the field, I would
just run straight into the line.
Yeah, I just ran straight, and I would run into an offensive lineman, even if there was a hole, and then fall down. That's my version of
the
Texans' offense.
Most Texans' way to lose this game is a Damien Pierce kickoff return for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah. That would be brutal. Frank Ross got to go if that happens.
That's the end it all moment as a Texans.
Lead topic Monday, Frank Ross has to be fired.
That's the window moment, yeah.
That would be a disaster. All right, we got the college football conference championships going on right now. Texas Tech leading BYU on the station tonight. We'll be airing the Big Ten championship game between Ohio State and Indiana. So let's get into some of these games, the implications of today and what it means for the college football playoff. We'll get into all of that next year as we broadcast live inside the Sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5.
1, 2, 3, go! Baby, don't mess around because she loves me so, and if I don't push her.
You're listening to The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at LaBerge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Broadcasting live inside the Sportsbook here at LaBerge. Just downloaded the ScoreBets app. Placed a little wager. Said a little promo here shown on the TVs. Was your first $10 bet wins. Get $100 in bonus bets.
There you go.
So I just took minus 1,200 money line Texas Tech odds.
All I do is win, no matter what.
I mean, it's a three-point game, Joe.
It doesn't matter if I win like 20 cents or whatever it was going to end up being.
Yeah, because the bonus.
Because you get the bonus bets. That's all I'm really going for
you
here.
Should,
so.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like looked at a college basketball game.
Yeah.
There's got to be like.
I feel there's like a 100 games that are going to be more of a blowout than that one.
I know.
Like, I think this is just more of your hate for Bear coming through.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I also, it's not that I.
You hate Bear Bockmeyer.
I don't hate Bear Bockmeyer right now.
He hasn't earned
but
the right.
But I have never wanted to root against someone more in my life than I am right now. I am only aggressively rooting for both BYU and Georgia. I mean, Texas Tech and Georgia today. Because I think if Alabama or BYU
wins. You need chalk, right?
So, okay, so I think there's three scenarios for Notre Dame here. BYU wins this game.
BYU wins. That hurts you a lot.
Notre Dame's out.
Yeah.
I think if Alabama wins and BYU loses, then you're going to have Miami and Notre Dame back-to-back, and I think they're going to flip them this weekend. I think they're going to flip them tomorrow when they do the reveal.
Because of how they look this week.
Yeah, because of how they look this week.
Even though you have to move them in the rankings.
Yeah, it is illogical to move them at this point, but they're going to, I feel like, tomorrow, because they're going to have them back-to-back. The only way I feel like Notre Dame makes the playoffs right now is if Alabama loses today and BYU. Because then I think they revert back to last week's rankings, which puts Notre Dame back at 9 and Alabama at 10. Both teams get in. Miami's out.
I mean, they tell us they're not punishing teams.
But that's not. But that's
I
one
know.
Spot's not punishing.
It's not. But if you had Alabama ahead now, why does Notre Dame get to benefit from not playing?
I don't know. But they said they were. They said idle teams can move. I'm with you there. But I don't understand this committee at all. Honestly, like. The fact that they said idle teams can move up, I think, is crazy.
I wish I could remember who said this so I could give credit to him, but I think this is absolutely true. Like, we all, I think, for the most part, think it should be resume-based, right? It feels like, obviously, the committee factors in resume, but they don't factor in that to, like, I think, the 100% level. They more factor in, like, what's most defensible.
Yes.
They want to put out a ranking that is very easy to defend, so when they get questions from Reese Davis, whoever on TV, they don't have to make a complicated argument. So they basically go with whatever the easiest to defend option is for the ranking.
Which is eye test.
Even if we know they're wrong in the case of Notre Dame still being ahead of Miami, even though same record and Miami won the game.
Yeah, it's just because when you say eye test, what do you really say back to it?
Yeah.
Because like, you can't, and like only Hunter Yurecek speaking. So like you can't speak to anyone else on the committee,
right?
And get their like what their eye test breakdown is, because like everyone makes the argument for like Notre Dame and Miami, the people who defend Notre Dame, you know, on like nonstop, they point to like C.J. Carr making his first start in college football, and I'm like, I hate that argument because how many guys for Miami were playing in their first games in college football this year? Like it's not the reason. It's weird. It's made me like flip on my own team in a way because like I'm so over this. I'm over this committee, and I'm ready for college football playoff expansion.
Well, I hope you're not too far over because I saw Notre Dame's schedule for next year tomorrow, I saw their schedule for next year earlier today. Sorry, bad phrasing there. And it feels like you're going to have the same conversations next year because that schedule looks on paper right now pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, but like it's the reality of it. Like I don't know if people are still like
but although it might be so easy that they go 12-0.
I was going to say
they're going to go 12-0.
We're only in this because they had an easy schedule except for two games and they lost
which
those two
they
games.
Lost both. Right.
Like if it was and honestly that we have a lot of 11-1 and 10-2 teams this year. Like that's part of it is that they're just less easy like boom 9-3 like cutoff where Notre Dame I mean because they also just part of they order it in what's easy to defend. A lot of times they just go by the number of losses. Like they just go, it'll just be ordered by power conferences. It's like conference power ranking plus losses is basically what they do. Where
and they also copy off the AP to start it.
Yeah, and so like there's
to the people who think the AP doesn't matter.
There's a level of just like they're just if they're 10-2 and they're a bunch of 9-3 teams. They're going to be in no matter what Notre Dame's schedule is.
Yep. And tomorrow's going to be interesting to see how like today plays out. How do you think tonight's game in the Big Ten, you know, if let's say it's even a 10-point game and Indiana loses by 10, should that change at the top after this game or should those be 1-2
as far as dropping them out of a bye?
I don't think they'll drop out of a bye. But like,
because people will make the argument that their schedule was cake outside of the Oregon game.
It was.
But I would, and it's a totally fair argument.
I would say, though, that number five right now is Oregon.
That's a strong.
Yeah.
And so they can't drop out of a bye. The strong, give Oregon
a bye. The yeah, but is a strong argument. Yeah.
Unless,
like, you only had one good game or one difficult game, but it was number five and you beat them.
Unless Alabama wins, but they wouldn't move up to a bye.
They wouldn't move up to a bye.
Although,
no.
I don't know.
They might.
They might, but. Because
so, okay.
You have two wins.
Okay,
over Georgia.
So let's play out that scenario. Ohio State's obviously still in a bye in that scenario.
Yeah, they're one.
Let's say Texas Tech holds on to win.
They're
in a bye. They might be the number two seed in that scenario. Does Oregon move up? Oregon can't move past Indiana.
Oregon can't move
So there
past
you go. Them. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, I mean, Indiana's safe.
Yeah, Indiana's a bye.
Because you're not moving Indiana behind Oregon, and obviously the committee thinks Oregon's better than Ole Miss, so Ole Miss isn't jumping while neutral.
Yeah. Unless Indiana loses by 24.
Yeah.
They'd have to get housed. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why
they'd have probably an injury to Mendoza.
And Bama has to win it close. Because if Bama also wins by 20 or something,
we'll just –
they might be the four seed.
Like, yeah, they might just drop Georgia to the very bottom.
Because there is a little bit of, like, the SEC champion doesn't get a bye, like that kind of stuff.
I feel like the SEC champion's getting a bye.
Yeah.
I think Georgia's moving to – I mean, Alabama's moving to four.
Yeah.
If they win, if not higher, frankly.
Yeah, if Alabama wins, they definitely jump Oklahoma, A&M, Ole Miss. The question comes in with Oregon, but I think they jump them.
Yeah, I think they jump Oregon. I think
either the three or the four seed.
Yeah. And to me, that ends up being, you know, it's Ohio State, Indiana, Texas Tech, and then Bama are your top four teams. So, I mean, I don't think besides, like, the bottom, you know, that 10 through 12 kind of how this is going to play out today, that's all that really matters at this point. We know with James Madison winning last night that if Duke wins tonight, James Madison's going to be in.
It's going to be 99.9% they showed the broadcast last night.
Yeah.
I would like to know what the
.01 is. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
Duke wins 70-0.
The committee just is stupid. It's just like, no, we're putting in Duke.
99-0 they win.
I do wonder, and it's going to be crazy if the ACC misses the playoffs this year, which it feels like they're going to.
I'm rooting for it.
Yeah. Like, and then that's how, and what's interesting, Sean, is I don't know how do you think that affects, like, the recency bias when they get back to having these playoff discussions about guaranteed seeds and everything. Like, if you're – like, how
if
does,
I'm the SEC – or if I'm the ACC,
yeah.
I'm accepting the proposal where we get two every year.
Yeah, like, I don't know how
it feels generous.
If we get zero – I mean, it is generous. Like, that's the thing.
They haven't earned.
Same thing
no.
with
–
they haven't deserved two bids for at least a few years.
Same thing with the Big 12 where it's like, you bet – how many years is the Big 12 going to get two teams in? Like,
yeah.
We're seeing it right now. They have an 11-1 team playing in the – they have two 11-1 teams playing in the conference title game. And if BYU loses, they are out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are not in the tournament right
100%.
Now. So, I think that it would only increase the odds that we get some sort of auto bid thing. But that would also basically kill conference championship week because
yeah,
I'm fine with that.
What do you have? Like, do you have 3 and 4 play for the third spot? Or you
no.
know, like,
well,
do you have it like an at-large bowl where you try to like schedule the teams that need an at-large situation to settle it on the field because
yeah.
the conferences are so big?
You could sell me on, instead of a conference championship weekend, of there's three auto bids from a conference and
the
like
3-4 game
and the 3-4 game.
Yeah.
Or if there's four, you could have, I mean, if there's four, you could give the first two automatically in, then three play six and four play five.
Yeah,
you could,
like,
yeah, I'd be fine
like
with something
a play-in
like that.
Weekend. Like,
and I think each conference should be able to do, honestly, like, whatever they want. I think the more uniformed it is, the better.
Yeah.
But
I don't really like that idea because it brushes up on something that we saw a little bit last year with the auto bids if you win or the auto buys if you win a conference, and then having to explain that, like, no, they ranked like Texas and Penn State 3 and 4, but they are the 5 and 6 seed. There's a point where it's like, this is getting too complicated. Like, actually,
yes.
Simplicity is better. And like having a 3-6, 4-5 matchup it's like, you're asking a lot from the consumer to, like, understand your playoff form or your playoff system at that point, where is it just better if it's just like, hey, the regular season standings 1 through 4, like, let's just put those in and not add another game where
that's
you're
true.
Like, how does the seeding to this work? Because I think you stretch the, like, average consumer's, like, willingness to understand this a lot.
I'm with that as long as the conferences have some sort of uniform rule for how they break ties.
I would just do by the College Football Playoff Committee.
I think it's
head to head and then College Football Playoff Committee to me.
That's like, how. I mean, if the ACC did that right now, Miami would be playing this weekend.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't. They wouldn't have this headache of how 5 minutes ago we said if Duke wins, they're out of the playoff. ACC is out.
Yeah, I think just following the College Football Playoff rankings like is the best way to do it. Or if the conferences want to start, you know, publicly ranking their own teams.
What if we know the Big 12
won't. They backed out after last year.
What if we just add more playoff committees?
Yeah.
A playoff subcommittees.
a conference playoff committee? Oh, my. Imagine the corruption SEC conference rankings.
How funny would that be if it's just like, all right, the SEC gets four teams, and the commissioner, you're just going to pick them.
Yeah.
You just pick the four teams that go.
As a Texas fan, I'm all for
it. Or we have, a board of five people, and it's like, well, it's going to be Nick Saban. It's going to be
Mac Brown,
Tim Tebow, Urban Meyer, and
Bob Stoops.
Tommy Tuberman.
Yeah. And it's like, this is who's going.
Yeah.
But where do you think they ultimately land on as we're seeing this kind of chaos unfold this year? Yeah.
I think they go to 16.
Yeah, they'll probably just go to 16.
Yeah, I think the Big Ten wanting 24, they're that losing argument where they're saying like the ACC gets four auto bid spots, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12. Like, I mean, I'm more open to 24 now. If it was like a more structured model, I think the SEC is going to end up winning this one and they're going to bet 16. And I still, like I said the other day on the show, you know, with Jeremy, like I still think 14 is an outside shot. They just follow the NFL model.
I just think they make the jump to 16 if I had to guess.
Yeah. All right, we are broadcasting live from inside the sportsbook here at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Texas Tech up 10-7 against BYU with about 2 minutes left to go. I think that's going to – yeah, they're not in field goal range. Oh, that's a bad snap.
Yeah, definitely not in field goal range now.
Yep, definitely not. There's so many logos on the field I couldn't tell.
I don't know. Brandon Aubrey, I think he'd have a chance.
Yeah?
From 90?
He'd have a chance.
Did they convert him this weekend to BYU? Mormonism?
I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this quickly, where Brandon Aubrey would rank if he was at other positions in fantasy football. But he would be the tight end, too, right now.
Behind what? Like Jake Ferguson?
It didn't list. It was a tweet from Underdog, and I'll try to pull it up here. But they didn't list, like, who they would be ahead of. He just listed, like, where they would be at each position. Yeah. As I try to find the rest of this list.
Should I draft, you know, next August, being like, should I draft Ferguson in the second round or
Brandon Aubrey would be the quarterback 22,
okay,
the running back 12,
okay,
the wide receiver 7, and the tight end 2. He has more fantasy points than Justin Jefferson, Saquon Barkley, Ashton Jeanty, and Drake London.
I have everyone but except Drake London.
I'm guessing the season isn't going well.
No.
I have a very similar roster. It's not going well
There's an Ashton Jeanty Saquon Barkley combo.
Ooh, R.I.P.
Yeah.
Yeah, R.I.P. That's tough. All right. Last night, the Rockets got the easy win over the Phoenix Suns. We saw Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green, one playing, one not playing, make their return to the Toyota Center. We'll talk about all of that next and more as we broadcast live here from inside the sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at LaBerge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Back here on ESPN 97.5, broadcasting live from inside the sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Texas Tech just got an interesting play where they fumbled, their wide receiver picked it up, got more yards. They're up driving right now. They're in field goal range. Might just kind of let this thing run out of the half. And
there's what I'm rooting for.
Their kicker
settle for
is
the
not,
field goal.
I would not be settling for a field goal if I had Texas Tech's kicker. But
I have the under on this game.
Yes, if you were Joey McGuire, you'd be very compromised right now. And incomplete.
course it's incomplete.
I feel like that celebration is only, like, good for a turnover.
No, if you're DB, you do it every time.
Yeah, every time.
Also should have been pass interference because that's full pass interference right there.
You're biased.
That is a lot of contact.
Yeah, it's a lot of contact. The total for tonight's game in the Ohio State-Indiana game is 46.5.
I'm a little surprised. On which side? Because I my lean on that was under.
Really? God, I feel like they really haven't played anyone this year, and I feel like both these offenses are awesome.
Yeah, I like both defenses as well. Yeah. I mean, I you can make the argument, I guess, either side, but my initial lean was the under.
Yeah, and I think it really comes down to, because I think Ohio State's going to be able to score
if they
want
to. I'd probably stay away from it, to be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet that game. I really don't know, like, any of it, because I just feel like that game feels like Ohio State might just bully them tonight and just embarrass them and make them drop out of having a bye. Or Indiana could really shock us and show they're actually.
It feels like it's Ohio State blowout or Indiana close.
Yeah, yes. I don't feel like Ohio State has to win a close football game tonight, or wins a close football.
No,
game
I don't
tonight.
Either.
The ACC game, I don't know. It's weird, like saying like there's a championship game happening tonight, and I never watched one of the teams play in a single game this entire season. I've seen Virginia play football. I've not watched a single Duke Blue Devil football game.
You didn't
this
see
year.
The Virginia upset of Florida State.
No, I watched Virginia play.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen Duke play.
Oh, okay. My bad. I'm just
so hurting. I don't know. Like, is Duke good at football?
Their defense isn't. Their offense is pretty good.
Mike Elko's not walking through that door.
Mike Elko is not walking. Riley Leonard's also not walking through that door.
No, not walking through that door.
I can name a lot of guys that aren't.
Daniel Jones not walking through that door.
Sure not.
Riley Leonard could be walking through the door.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard could be walking through the door.
Daniel Jones might walk through the door, but he's limping.
Yeah.
Apparently, this thing on thing that's protecting his leg, that they
was made by college roommates.
Yeah, his college roommates, and apparently they did it before. They made something for him in college that protected his collarbone.
I heard the same thing.
He just lived with a bunch of nerds.
I mean, pays to go to a smart kid school, right?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, but most time the quarterback's like roommates with a receiver.
Yeah.
Lineman. Colt McCoy. Yeah. I don't think Jordan Shipley's making any protective devices for Colt McCoy.
So either if you're a college football coach out there listening, first of all, thank you. second of all, you're wasting your time. Third of all,
you're the real hero here.
Hey, Willie.
If you have a quarterback, you either have to have his roommate be the best wide receiver on the team. Or
a nerd.
Some engineering medical students or something like.
That's what I'm assuming. This was
a doctor student.
Yeah,
I'm assuming this was like later in college and by choice, or does Duke just put its football players with random students?
I don't know. It could be someone he knew from high school.
Yeah, maybe. Because like, could you imagine being a college kid? Like, you're walking, who are you? Like, oh, I'm gonna be the starting quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm studying science.
Hey, you're tall, Daniel. That's cool. Your major?
We've all seen the sidelines during college football games. There's about 40 kids who have no chance of playing. So it might be one of those kids who's already looked towards their post play.
That's good. That's a good catch.
The walk on.
The walk on wide receiver.
Walk on.
That's what you pair them with. You take your star quarterback and you pair him with some jabroni walk on who's going to have to transition to becoming a doctor because he can't hack it in football.
Last night we saw the Rockets get the win over the Phoenix Suns. Alperen Şengün was out of that game with an illness. We'll see if he's back tonight against the Dallas Mavericks. You never know. The thing that's been going around for people has not been fun. We've seen
what you guys think of, because I know, basketball is positionless. This is all probably overrated.
Yep.
But technically, no guard lineup, starting lineup from the Rockets. What'd you guys think of that?
I'm not surprised.
I mean, a lot of times they start a no guard lineup. that's a lot of times where it's guard and name only. You know, it's Josh Okogie is the only guard, and it's like he's not really running the offense for you. So, I to me, it's not like, I don't know. It is interesting. It just shows that the Rockets are an odd team. Like, you know, it's an unconventional team. But also, to the Rockets' credit, when they despite not having an all-star player, likely all-NBA player this year, team kind of looks the same. You know, they play the same way. Their style doesn't really change all that much, even without, you know, a guy who's been the best player so far. Mm. And you have the luxury of, Kevin Durant. Just be Kevin Durant for a night.
Yeah, he scored 17 points in
the second quarter.
And he scored 28 on the night.
Yeah.
I think it was Rockets scored 44 in the second.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's why having Durant so huge, not just – for the Rockets, is also Durant being on the Rockets, huge for Durant, where, you know, every night of the season, he doesn't have to be what he was last night. There's a lot of games where you can just play through Shingun and get through it. And, you know, Kevin Durant can be a supporting character in that game. And every once in a while, well, Shingun's out. You know, you don't have to be as good as you once was, but he can be as good once as he ever was.
Thank you, Toby. R.I.P.
Yeah, and you can have Durant go. I forgot. He was stupid efficient. It was like 17 shots for 31 points.
Yeah,
and he can just do that.
Amen was similar. Who had 31? I think he got 31 also. 17 shots.
Yeah, and it was needed for Amen to have, you know, a big game like that. It's been. Yeah, obviously he's playing a different position than he was last year, but his numbers are a bit down on the offensive side of the ball. But you know, it's nice just to see the flashes. It's what the Rockets have done all year. It's like every time you're like, kind of a rough stretch for this guy. It's like, oh no, he shows like why Reed Shepard drafted third overall. Or, you know, oh, Jabari Smith just had an awesome game. Like as you're getting to the point of like, man, it's really been a while since so and so has it. Oh, there he goes. He's had a good game.
We also saw Kevin Durant last night become the eighth player of all time in the NBA to score 31,000 points. Another moment where it's just like, this is absurd that he's on the Rockets.
Yeah.
Because the Rockets tweeting out the graphic with like...
taking the credit.
Yeah.
It's like
he's
Houston
like
the, Rockets he's legend.
It's like happening in Houston. Like, he's the eighth player of all time. And like, you're going to have to use him as a Rocket in that graphic because that's when he scored the points.
Yeah.
Like, when the ninth player does it, I think you have to use him as a Rocket.
It's like the Orlando Magic back in the day putting out stuff for Patrick Ewing, or the Raptors putting out stuff for Akeem.
Yeah,
congratulations, Akeem!
Yeah,
Raptors
legend. I mean, LeBron was a Laker when he was the all-time point scorer.
True.
You know,
yeah.
And that's the graphic that
that's
LeBron's
what gets put on the graphic.
He's in a Lakers jersey in this graphic, which is it's like. Well, I guess I don't know what do you choose for him. Would you go Heat or Cavs?
Yeah,
I think it's Cavs.
He played for the Cavs for like 12 years.
Yeah, that's true.
If you add it up.
Now, if he hadn't won a ring there, I think he could make an argument, but he won a ring, so I'd say he goes in as a Cav.
It would have been very funny.
He's also a kid from Akron. Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
It would have been very funny if Jordan would have done it, though, as a Wizard. And like they had like,
he had to have passed some milestone as a Wizard.
I know.
Yeah,
like, you gotta, like, I just want to see like someone put a graphic up of like
him in a Wizard's
uniform.
With the ball.
Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks both get tribute videos last night. Jalen Green with the Rockets for 4 years?
4 years.
4 years? No. Dylan Brooks, 2 years.
Yep.
It's too... Not enough time.
You know who agrees with you? Dylan Brooks.
I mean,
like he said in the post, like someone asked about it, and he was obviously very thankful for it. You could see him getting emotional before the game, but he said in the locker room after the game, he was like, I was only here 2 years.
Yeah, I was like, it's the Rockets have, and this is my take of like tribute videos that like have jumped the shark. It's centered around the Houston Rockets. They've done it way too much. They gave one to John Wall.
They shouldn't have done that.
Like,
I was actually okay with the Dylan Brooks one, but John Wall, I'm with you.
The John Wall one is hilarious.
And, like, what did they show?
There has to be at least a moment where, like, you have to, like, go into a playoffs or, like, at least Dylan has a playoff trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jalen Green. He played playoff game.
Had one good game in the playoffs.
That's what I was talking. Will Kunkel and I were talking about it earlier this week, and I was like, what are you going to put in it? Cool dunks, and then
all game two
of the first round,
and breaking news: Jalen Green traded for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, the Sports Center update. Da-na-na, da-na-na.
Like best moments of Jalen Green's on a Rocket when we traded his ass.
Yeah, but I watching the tribute video, it was mostly cool dunks, step back threes, and a little bit of Warriors game.
Did they show that other video of Jalen Green?
That'd
they did put that in the tribute video.
That'd be great if they did.
No, I don't think Josh Christopher made the cutting room floor, unfortunately.
Did Josh Christopher get one after he left the Rockets?
Did he ever come back to Houston in the NBA?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of a bench somewhere, but yeah. He bounced around the league for a year or two.
I don't think he did, which is, like, that's good. Because there's literally no highlights for him. Like, what are you going to show? G League highlights?
There's some...
Are you going to show that video of them sharing the time together?
Summer League highlights?
There was a dunk or two that he had.
I guess. Now, Ty.
Did Cam Whitmore get one?
Of him yelling
he better not have.
Him yelling at Ime?
Or just him, like...
pouting on the bench?
Yeah, standing stone-faced as they won game two of the playoff.
And just pouting.
Yeah, just like, oh,
which is still absurd. And it seems like all he does is pout now. There's this weird section of Rockets Twitter that, like, I've seen, like, the Wizards guy was just like, look, Cam Whitmore Cook. I'm like, why do you guys care? Because you want to be so right that the Rockets were wrong about a player? I don't quite understand that at all. All right, they're showing still, like, the resumes up there about James
Madison. JMU, baby.
And Tulane.
Let's go, Dukes!
Making the playoffs this year, which is just, it's awesome. I can't wait to see the spread in those games.
What is the spread if it's like Ole Miss versus JMU in the first round?
I'm taking JMU.
I've seen some of
it's
those.
It's got to be, what, at least 17, 20?
It's got to be. Keep doing the show.
No, you don't have to give us the answer right now.
they are going to be high, which, like, it is what it is. Like, it's not.
No.
It's the format.
I mean, we saw that last year with, Penn State blowing out SMU and, yeah. What was the other one? Boise State got blown out, so.
Yeah, I think, the initial bracket they showed, Josh Beard texted me immediately. He's like, so are we going to watch this game together if that's how it plays out, Notre Dame versus A&M? It's like,
no.
No, dude. Because I don't need you, like, breaking my house when Texas A&M loses. Like,
you say Josh Beard has anger management issues?
You're saying that A&M's going to lose?
I am saying A&M's going
to
lose.
I would pick A&M to lose that game.
Yeah.
Who knows what would happen if Notre Dame and Texas A&M play?
It would depend
where the game was, though. In South Bend, Irish have a chance.
The game would be in College Station, where they won last year.
It would be in College Station.
Yeah. As long as, you know, like,
I just don't trust Marcel Reed.
I don't trust Riley Leonard.
I don't trust
not walking through that door.
Yeah, when they won last year at College Station.
It'd be nice if Riley Leonard came back just to hold a snap in that game.
Well, he can only play one possession, and then he's going to be gassed.
That's fine.
Just throwing up on the sideline.
Yeah, just puking his guts out. I can't wait till we see Riley Leonard play for the Colts this year. It's going to happen at some point.
Week 18, baby.
Ole Miss would be a 14-point favorite against Virginia. Oregon, 15.5. Well, this was North Texas from 3 days ago, the hypothetical one. There's not a JMU one that I see.
Well, you said it's 15.5 for North Texas?
Yes.
I would bet it's at least a field goal more than that. Because, I mean, obviously the American Conference has been better than the Sun Belt.
Well, also Tulane's the team that actually won.
So. Yeah, true. That as well, yes.
All right, let's talk a little bit back more about the Texans here in the next segment. Nick Caley has obviously been a hot-button topic this entire season. From the very beginning to where we're at now still. I think people are very mixed on him. Where are you at with Nick Caley and him returning next year to the Houston Texans? Let's get to that next year on ESPN 97.5.
Well, I know where I'm at with Burger Chan. Burger Chan has the best burgers in the city, and it's not just an elite menu of burgers at their restaurant. Their award-winning menu, which, I mean, they got the credentials to back it up, 2023, 2024, named by Yelp as one of the best 100 restaurants in the country. But that award-winning menu also has great chicken sandwiches, fried fish sandwiches. They also now started serving turkey burgers if you want a healthier option. Also have falafel and breakfast sandwiches served all day. And when you go by and stop by and try that menu, just know that they have expanded hours, more time to try that menu. Now open on Mondays when they used to be closed all day, and they have dinner services added to their weekly schedule Wednesday through Saturday from 3 to 9 or till 9 o'clock. So make sure you stop on by, especially this Monday if the Texans beat the Chiefs tomorrow night. Because for the rest of football season, Burger Chan is partnering with us to celebrate Victory Mondays. Every time the Texans win, the following day on Monday, you can get a free side with your entree at Burger Chan. So maybe some spicy tots. The curly fries are great. Cheese curds. They have sweet potato fries, regular fries, if you're basic and boring. But whatever side you want, you can get it for free with your entree on Burger Chan the day after a Texans win. Just stop by on that Monday and mention my name, mention ESPN 97.5, or say Go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Burger Chan, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama in the Gallery area, or check out their full menu online at BurgerChanHTX.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at LaBerge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Joe, Sean, and Brian here on ESPN 97.5. Let's talk to Nick Haley here a little bit. I thought this was an interesting topic you threw in there, Brian, because I know where I stand on it personally. Nick Haley's future. I mean, it's. I think the offense has gotten collectively better this season up to the 20-yard line and in non-short yard situations. Like, I do think we've seen, even with Davis Mills in there, we've seen the death by a thousand paper cuts, you know, kind of strategy work for them, the quick yardage, quick reads. You know, they're getting good completions, the Higgins and Nico and Schultz. I think the run game has looked a lot better. I think you know, Cole Popovich seems like he deserves some credit for how the offensive line is performing. I question why it took them so long to figure out this offensive line combination still to be this good. But where are you at, Brian, with Nick Haley going into next season at this point?
I've moved off of he has to go no matter what to letting the next five games play out. Because, I mean, up until probably like 2 weeks ago, I was like, get rid of him no matter what. Like, I'd made that decision. But, look, it's hard to give him credit for getting to a point of creativity that every other team was already at. But seeing him start to work in the tush push with Cade Stover, seeing the sweep play with Nico Collins last week to try to get on the edge on the goal line instead of trying to, you know, ram it between the guards and tackles and get shoved back every time. Like, seeing a little bit of that creativity come in, and plus the overall offense production, going 3-0 with Davis Mills, like, we can't undersell that. They did go 3-0 with Davis Mills and move the ball a little bit.
A little bit.
But so I'm willing to, at this point, let the final season or the final five games play out and make a decision on over the whole season and not completely, you know, write them off on how the first half of the year went.
So if it is relatively status quo from here,
I think
here
we'd
on
have
out
to continue to see growth. Like, if if we're still seeing the Texans score 19 points a game, 20 points, like, we're going to have a pop off here at some point.
All right. Sounds like you're going to want to pick it fine.
Well, here's
the pop
yes,
off.
Yes.
Well, oh,
yes.
Actually, no, I forgot. They do play the Raiders
and the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. So they will probably score 28 points in those games.
They need to score 30.
Okay.
Maybe that's my line. Okay. You need to score 30 against the Cardinals and the Raiders.
It does it have to be maybe dispersed a little bit more evenly than, say, a Titans performance has been dispersed?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it can't just be a 3-6 game and then avalanche in the fourth.
Right.
You want to see consistently your offense moving the ball. I think what we see is kind of what we're going to get for the rest of the year. I don't think that there's some other tweak
that
can be made.
I'm just willing to, like a rookie, Woody Marks, for example, who starts slow and then you see an improvement. We kind of have to have the same idea for Nick Haley. Now, they
rookie wall?
They shouldn't, huh?
Is he going to hit the rookie wall? He's never coordinated for this many games.
It's a good question, Sean.
The physicality. I like
where your mind's at.
The physicality on this level.
I like where your mind's
at.
But, like, I am 100% they shouldn't have hired him. It was a mistake to hire him. But now that he's here, and I always keep in the back of my mind, it can always get worse. We thought, I can't get worse than Bobby Slowick. And for a little bit, it did.
Yep.
So you can fire Nick Haley, sure, but then you might hire 2026 versions of Chip Kelly. Like, it could get worse even if you think you're getting better. So as long as you see steady improvement, which you should with a first-year play caller now getting more experience. We've seen him work in more creativity, like I mentioned with the tush push and the sweep to Nico. If it continues to incrementally improve, I'm willing to run it back next year.
Yeah, the thing is, just if they don't win the Super Bowl and they lose.
Oh, wow, that's a hell of a bar, Sean.
No. And when they lose in the playoffs, it's going to look ugly on offense.
Yeah. Probably.
Like, that is how it's going to look.
Yeah, it's not going to come because they got blown out and the defense gave up 40.
So the Monday after they lose in the divisional round to the Broncos or Patriots or whatever.
Right.
And they score 13 points in that game, we're not going to be on Monday being like, Nick Haley, come on back. You know what? You scored 31 points against the Cardinals. That's what I needed to see.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, the dream here, I mean, the Mike McDaniel dream, I think, is over.
They've won too many games.
Yeah.
They're going to win again this weekend.
Yeah,
so.
I think he's staying in Miami.
I do, too. They're playing for him.
So, you have Stefanski could be available. So, like, could you have some, like, behind-the-scene conversations?
I'd be fine with Stefanski.
Like, I think you have to make a clear upgrade
if you're going to make a move. Now, I would like them to make a move. I'm not a believer in Nick Caley. I don't think he's learning. I don't think he's shown enough to be able to fix his red zone problems. And, you know, the Chip Kelly, obviously, I'm not sure Chip Kelly is the disaster that it comes off right now. I'm going to be honest with you.
Who do you put the blame on?
I think Pete Carroll.
Like, that's fair. I was against that hiring from.
It seems like it's a weird mix. They don't really have.
Because Pete Carroll's like a defensive really guy who wants to run the ball all the time. Chip Kelly's more of a spread guy.
They also don't have an offensive line, and they drafted a running back sixth overall.
Yeah, that too.
I'm not saying go hire Chip Kelly now and like
No, God, wrong.
I'm not sure Chip Kelly. Now he might be done with the NFL. He might have to go back to college to. Success again at this point.
But Ohio State needs an offensive coordinator.
They do. I wonder where he's going to end up next year. But I'm still pro, like, we're moving on from Nick Caley because we're not seeing any improvement. Now, I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to run it back with this group next year, and I think you're going to have to bring in some kind of veteran presence in your coaching staff that can try to assist with your flaws in the red zone.
I think you mentioned something about having a plan. Like, I'm with you if you're telling me there's a a clear upgrade and they have a plan for it and they execute it right away. Like, I don't want to go into this nebulous coaching search where, well, it's the guy at Syracuse and it's a bunch of people that were assistants that we've never heard of. Like, if that's the process, then just keep Nick Caley. But if you had, like, if in the case of Stefanski or Mike McDaniel, something like that, where it's, okay, a proven guy in a system you like who's had success multiple times, multiple years, multiple teams in the case of those guys, then sure, obviously move on from Caley. But it can get worse.
I think the unfortunate reality of where the Texans are at right now, and this is what happens when you hire a defensive coach. And obviously it can happen the other side if you hired an offensive coach with your defense, is that at some point, like, sometimes just all the options are bad because the good offensive coordinators are going to be head coaches.
Right.
Like, you look at the way it's played out this year. Chip Kelly has already gotten fired. Nick Caley has not been good. We have seen John Morton lose play calling responsibilities in his first year as the OC with the Lions. Like, these OCs, they flame out. Like, and so you either have to take a risk and bring in a guy with no experience – or it's a lot of times it's just bad.
And they need to find their offensive spags.
But those guys don't exist.
I know. But that's what they need because this is part of the problem.
Chip Kelly's never going to be a head coach again.
That was the hope with Chip Kelly.
That's the thing with Spagnuolo is that it's like he's just never going to be a head coach
again.
You know, Vic Fangio.
Or Dick LeBeau back in the day.
Vic Fangio, never going to be a head coach. Right. Like, you need one of those guys for the offensive side. It's Anthony Lynn. It's going to be like Jim Caldwell type.
I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah,
but that's always going to be. Matt Nagy. I wouldn't mind that necessarily.
He probably does get another head coach.
I don't think he does.
I think he gets one this offseason.
You think he gets really
the Kansas City?
They sprinkle the little Andy Reid magic dust on him, and he's
their offense looks terrible.
How many jobs did Josh McDaniels get?
You know? A bunch.
Two, and he accepted a third, and then. Backed out.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is something we've talked about with D'Amico before, but it's always going to be an issue because if your head coach is a defensive guy, whenever the offense succeeds, that coordinator is going to go get a head coaching job, and you're going to start the cycle over and over and over.
Yeah, you got to be good at developing coaches.
Yeah, or just good at, you know,
having a network.
Yeah, knowing who's good at, like, having an idea of who you want to hire, having a network.
Someone that went to John Carroll.
Having good ideas. Like, You can just hire talented people. Like, it's
no, they have to go to John Carroll.
It's not impossible.
Or work with the Patriots.
You mentioned on the flip side, if you have an offensive coach, you have to do that with your defensive coordinator. Kyle Shanahan did a pretty good job at hiring defensive coordinators for a while.
Like, yep,
he's done all right. Done all right.
They're all guys on the come up. It wasn't an established guy. Like, so you can hire good young assistants. Like, that is possible to do that consistently. Just the Houston Texans.
I haven't seen it, Sean.
Whether it's Caserio making the hires, whether it's D'Amico making the hires, those guys haven't been able to do it.
All right, speaking of hirings and firings, let's talk about who's going to be out in the NFL in the next segment. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, Joe George, broadcasting live from inside the Sportsbook in LaBerge on ESPN 97.5.
What's your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.